Good morning and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so glad that you're here. Today, Dak is finishing up his sermon series on peace. And I don't know about you, but this sermon series has really made me think differently about peace, and I hope it has for you as well. If you want more information about our church, please download our free Christchurch app or visit our Christchurch Ohio website. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the service.
Good morning, Christchurch. We're so glad you're here. So whether you're with us online or in person, worship together with us. We're going to sing of the one who is mighty to save. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation.
Thank you. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Verse 2.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your
God is in the house this morning, huh, band? Yes, bringing it. Warming them up for Doc. A couple quick things this morning, church. First of all, after this service, 11 o'clock here today, we have baptisms on the back porch, so join us for that. It's going to be great seeing some people publicly commit themselves to Christ. What a great thing. Also, next week, remember, we only have one live service for Columbia Station next week. That will be at 10:30 at Strongsville Square. Bring your chair, bring your water, bring your dog, bring your friends, bring your neighbors. Join us there. It's going to be a great, easy service. Doc's going to bring a great message, and we're going to have a great time. So hope to see you there. And I wanted to remind you just what a reach we've been able to have during this time. At one point during the first service, we were broadcasting to 3 different countries and 8 different states. Over 80% of our attendance is currently online. Since live stream started on March 13th, I think was our first Sunday, over 300 people have committed their lives to Christ. None of that would be possible without your generosity. We've invested tens of thousands of dollars in the equipment required to do this, but it's all worth it, church. And so I just want to thank you for that. You guys are such a generous community. I want to remind you about the ways to give. Number one, in the black boxes as you leave the auditorium. 2, on our Christchurch app. And then finally, as always, at christchurchohio.org. Enjoy the service. It's so good to see you.
Wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity. I ask myself, is all hope lost? Is there only pain and hatred and insanity? And each time I feel like this inside, funny about peace, love, and understanding. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? As I walk through troubled times, my spirit gets so downhearted sometimes. Trusted, and where is that harmony, sweet harmony? 'Cause each time I feel it slipping away, just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? So funny about peace, love, and understanding. Oh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
sure I need the Big Ten when I get to hear this kind of music. Amen. Sounds like a golf clap. All right, there we go. Okay. I would like you to look at the wonderful ushers in this church. Would you just turn around and look at our ushers for a minute? Could I tell you something about our ushers? They show up here every week with one desire in their heart, to help you get in and out of the church comfortably. And I think they're doing a great job. And I want you to be nice to them. They're volunteers. They're just doing the best they can. Be nice to them. Tell them thank you on the way out today. Would you do that? Oh, Lord, you are the Lord of peace. You are at peace within yourself. You're trying to make us people of peace so that we can abide with you forever in your great kingdom of peace. And I pray today that you would teach us how to strive for peace and holiness. And I ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A lot of people have heard John Calvin's name and associated him with things that he didn't even believe. So from time to time, when people find out I'm a Calvinist, they say, oh, you believe God sends babies to hell. No, I don't believe that at all. And John Calvin never believed that. That is something people made up who didn't like him. This is the essence of what Calvin's theology was all about. He used the word piety. Sometimes people translate it godliness. But here's what he means. He says, I call piety that love and reverence for God that comes from knowing every good thing in my life comes from God. Because until I know that, I never really trust him or render him willing service. One more time. The essence of the Christian life is the belief that creates love and reverence for God. What is that belief? That every good thing in my life comes from God. And when I believe that, I trust him more. It's easy to trust someone who's doing beautiful and loving things in my life. And because I see how good he is to me, I genuinely want to give him willing service. That's the essence of Calvinism. Now, if you're against that, then I can understand being against Calvin. But if you're not against that, then don't let people slander him, okay? Here's to our buddy John. I'm telling you that because I want to share an idea from this little book by Calvin called The Little Book of Christian Living. I'd really recommend it to you. Listen to what Calvin says. The goal of God's work in us is to bring our lives into harmony and agreement with his own righteousness so as to manifest to us and to others our true identity as the adopted children of God. I can say this in an easy way. Everything that happens in your life, God is using for a single purpose. And that is to bring you into harmony with him so that you know and other people around you know that you are a child of God. All right. Now let's push on that a little harder. When you have success in your life, something happens that you really want to happen, you're really feeling good about it. Calvin wants you to think, this success is a gift of God to me to bring my life into greater harmony with His. This success is God teaching me and preparing me to live with Him forever. When you have heartbreak and failure, when life is so painful it's hard to breathe, Calvin wants you to say, God is using this pain to remind me that this is not my real life. This is temporary. And He's preparing a place for me where this never happens. Church. So every success and every failure is in fact used by God out of His great love and wisdom to mold our souls a little more so we are ready to abide with Him forever. Church. The problem is, when I succeed, I'm happy. And I kind of forget about God. I'm enjoying the success, right? This is great. When I fail, when I'm brokenhearted, I kind of forget about God. Or I say to God, what's up with you? Why are you letting this happen to me? Church? And so what happens is, in our successes and failures, we miss the grace of God that is intended to mold our souls to live with Him forever. Or, in the successes and failures, we become aware of the grace of God. And in those moments, we say, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Church, I see all of these life experiences as God at work in me, preparing me to abide with Him forever. And so the author of Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. I'd like you to look at this word strive. It's translated other places as hunt. I want to say hunt down peace, because it doesn't show up by itself. Church, if I want to have this life of peace that is in conformity with the God of peace, I have to hunt it down. It's not just going to show up in my life. This word strive or hunt is really an emotional word, and it's meant to describe nervous anticipation, good or bad. For example, have you ever lost something in your house and you're nervously, anxiously trying to make your way and find it? I know those keys are here somewhere. I gotta find them. You know that feeling you have? Well, that's the bad side of this word. The good side is you're just about to accomplish something that you've wanted to accomplish, and you got to try just a little bit harder, and you have that nervous anticipation because you're just about to get it right. So, peace isn't going to show up in my life. I have to hunt it down. So how do I do that? How do I hunt down peace? Okay, that's what this whole sermon series has been about. I'm going to remind you all the ways we learned how to hunt down peace. If you missed any of these or you want to follow up on them, they're online and you can find them somewhere online. All right, at the very beginning of this series, we studied John 14, 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." I begin to seek peace, not with a political idea, not with a medical idea, not with a social interaction idea. I begin to seek peace by turning my heart to Christ. He is the giver of peace. The second sermon was peace through Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ doesn't just give me peace within myself. He gives me peace with God. I know I have not been a good man. I know I have fallen short of the glory of God. I worry about his evaluation of my failures. But Jesus comes and says, "I give you peace with God. I forgive everything that God has against you. I give you peace." 3, peace in the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound with hope. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity who's in my inner life day by day, nurturing the peace and the hope of Jesus Christ. Crushing peace. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. There is evil in my life that has to be defeated. It has to be crushed. And the scriptures say that Christ is willing to help us step on this evil so it doesn't have ascendancy in our lives. 5, the mindset of peace. Romans 8:6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. 6, peace and knowledge. May the grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. The better I know Christ, the more peace I have. Guarding peace, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If I'm looking to Christ for peace, he not only gives me peace, his peace guards my heart and my mind. Peace and purity, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself purify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm being made pure, I have peace with God, and I will stand before Christ blameless. Everyday peace, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord is with all of you. This peace is everyday peace, all the time and in every way. And this week, peace and holiness. Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Here are 10 ways you can hunt down peace in your life. Now let me say it again. You got to do it. You got to take these lessons and make them part of your life, and you got to actively hunt down peace every single day. And then he says, I also have to hunt down holiness. Holiness is not a word that is popular in modern Christianity. We've kind of made a deal with life. I'll be just good enough. But I'm not gonna be one of those people who are the holy rollers. I'm not gonna be one of those nutso people. Look, church, I'm gonna tell you, the text tells us clearly, without holiness, you won't see the Lord. It's not a nice addition on our lives. It's a mandatory quality. It's not something that we easily set aside. What is holiness? This definition comes from R.C. Sproul, who wrote the book The Holiness of God. First of all, it's purity. When I say holiness, what do I mean? I mean, I'm striving to have a pure mind and a pure heart. I'm trying. I don't let myself dwell on ugly thoughts. I don't let resentment roll around in me. I don't hold grudges. I don't have an angry mind. I'm confronting lust and greed and selfishness. I'm not permitting my mind to be a corrupt cesspool. I'm striving to have clean, good, healthy thoughts. Church, I tell you, every psychiatrist in the world will tell you that's healthy. It's not just Christian, it's healthy. The second thing it means is separate. If you're going to be holy, you have to separate. This word actually means to cut off. If you translated this word literally, it means to cut off. If you're going to be holy, there are things you have to slice off your life. You get it? Some of my dear friends have had cancer surgery, and it wasn't pleasant. And it was intrusive. It was invasive. But the cancer had to be cut out. It couldn't be left there. If it was left there, they couldn't live. Holiness is saying, I have a cancer in my character. I have a cancer in my soul. And it's got to be cut out. It has to be separated out of my life. If I'm going to be holy, there are things that come naturally to me that are wrong, and they have to be cut out. Church, I can't make deals with the corruption of my heart and be holy. The two can't stand each other. The third thing it means is transcendence. Transcendence is the idea that from time to time we get this blessing and we have this sense of God and this overwhelming sense of there's something so much more and better than this. Have you ever had that feeling? That transcendent feeling. I am vaguely aware that there is something awesome and greater and more beautiful than this. If you've ever sensed the presence of God in your life, you've sensed this wonderful transcendence. It is a lifting. The ugliness of the world gets dim, and the majesty and the beauty and the wonder and the splendor, the transcendence of God comes into focus. That's holiness, church. All right. Sproul says in his book, and I agree with it, only God is holy. Listen. So only God can make you holy. You can't make yourself holy. I can't make a pure mind. I need help. I can't cut out of my life what needs to be cut out. Who's going to do surgery on themselves? What a fool. I can't cut out the wickedness. I need God. And I'm incapable of rising above the weight of this life without God. God is innately holy. And if I'm going to be holy, he has to make me holy. I can't be holy by myself. Church, I'm telling you, you can't have peace by yourself and you can't have holiness by yourself. They both require the work of God in our hearts. So how does God make us holy? I'd like to use a passage from Paul, Titus, beginning chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. I'm going to share with you five ways to pursue holiness. One, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Church, holiness comes through the grace of God, and it begins with salvation. You'll never be holy until you bring the weight of your brokenness and sin, and you lay it down before Christ, and he forgives you and replaces that with grace. That's where it begins. If you want to be holy, you got to bring your corrupt self and honestly repent to Christ, and he will give you grace and salvation. Two, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Do you remember I said ungodliness and impiety are the same word? All right, what does it mean here? Christ trains me to stop looking at life and not seeing that every good thing in my life comes from him. Do you hear this? Christ trains me to more and more recognize every good thing in my life comes from him. Ungodliness, impiety is the thought, this is mine. I earned it. Nobody gave this to me. I earned it. I worked for it. It's mine. It's impiety. Who gave you the health to work for it? Why were you born in America and not in some third world place? Church. I'm obeying. I'm doing everything I can not to get the COVID. But I can't keep myself from getting sick. Do you know that? Do you really know that in the end, you can do everything and people get sick? That's just the hard truth of it. Okay, don't be stupid. I'm not going to be stupid. I'm wearing my face covering. But look, I hear every week, this person got sick and they were doing everything. All right. I look at my life and say, somebody has blessed me beyond myself. That's piety. That's godliness. And listen, Christ trains us to think that way. Three. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. If I'm going to be holy, I have to have some self-control. There's no holiness without self-control. All right. Now, some of you have tried to develop self-control, and you know it's usually not something you can do by yourself. You need help. Right? Well, maybe some of you don't think that, but look, self-control is a team sport. It basically works this way. When you don't have it, you have to have a partner in life who does, and you draw on their strengths. Are you hearing this? I have a partner in life. His name is Jesus Christ. When I'm not able to have self-control, he is my strength. He gets me over the hump. I rely on him. I get to be holy because I have a holy strength in my life that helps me when I so desperately need it. 4, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, if I think this life is all there is, it's hard to be holy. Because why not indulge myself? Because when this life is over, nothing. Why not do whatever I want to do? Why not give in to all my base impulses? Because when I die, I just go in the dirt anyway. Okay, we don't believe when we die, we go into the dirt. I believe I have this blessed hope that Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, doubtlessly I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you get to be also. I have a blessed hope, and it inspires me to be holy. I am inspired to be holy because there is someone who loves me dearly, and he's preparing a place for me. And he says, you got to be holy to come here. Let me help prepare you. Church. And 5, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Do you hear this? Here's what Calvin told us. He said, God's purpose is to prepare you for him. And here it shows up in the Bible. He is preparing us a unique people. Holiness requires redemption, and redemption is an act of Christ, not my own good works. Listen to me. Listen. I don't do good works to become holy. I only begin to do good works when I am holy, right? I can't cover my hands with mud and handle a white wedding dress. The mother-in-law would kill me if the mother didn't get to me first. Okay. I have dirty hands. I can't do holy work. But when Christ washes my hands, now I can handle the lace and satin white wedding dress because my hands are clean. I don't do good works to become holy. I become holy so I can do good works. We need to quickly look at this. The next verse, watching carefully so that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Here we have grace and peace together again. We've seen it many times in the New Testament. Failing to recognize the grace of God ruins peace. When I can see God is being good to me, he's treating me better than I deserve, this blessing is his kindness, this difficult in his life is him molding me for something better. When I see his grace, my peace goes up. when I can't see his grace, and I think I'm in this all alone, and I'm slugging it out by myself, my peace goes down. Failing to recognize the grace Christ gives replaces the gift of holiness with self-righteousness. Listen, if you can't see it's the grace of God making you better, then everything you do, you attribute to yourself. Well, I'm better than other people. I'm not like old Bill over here, wandering around drunk on Friday night. I'm not like Rebecca. Man, does that woman gossip to everybody? We get self-righteous. If I can't see that it's the grace of God making me better, then I get to think I'm better. And I'm like the guy that Jesus talked about. I can't take the splinter out of somebody else's eye because I have a plank in my own eye. But if I can see it is the grace of God that's making me better, I can be holy instead of self-righteous. And then he gives us one more warning. Watch out, watch carefully that the root of bitterness doesn't spring up and defile many. What is this root of bitterness? It's angry resentment. It's the refusal to forgive. It's the impulse to despise others. Listen, if I have this angry resentment and this inclination to despise others, I'm never going to have peace and I'm never going to have holiness, because the bitterness and the peace and holiness cannot abide in the same heart and mind. If you're bitter, you don't have peace. If you're bitter, you don't have a pure mind. You have a resentful mind, an angry mind, a vicious mind that wants to get even. Watch out that you don't miss the grace of God that displaces angry resentment and despising others. Church, our definition of purity. You see, a pure mind will push out bitterness, or bitterness will push out a pure mind. You can't have both. Do you see that? The second definition, to separate, to cut out. Bitterness will cut peace and holiness out of you, or peace and holiness will cut bitterness out of you. Bitterness weighs you down. It anchors you to the ugly. You repeat vicious thoughts in your mind. You live a base and ugly life. But grace that creates holiness, it creates lift. It separates me. I feel separated from the ugliness, from the wickedness, from the vanity, from the despising others. I feel separated from that, and I'm lifted. I'm closer to God, the peace that passes understanding and the holiness that makes me capable of seeing God. They dominate. And so we come to this. Heaven is a place of perfect peace. I hope you understand that. If we understand anything about life with God, it is a place of perfect peace and holiness. My friends who have slipped into the presence of God, they never have an anxious thought. They never have an oppressive thought. They live lives of beauty, dignity, and calm. Because that's who God is. And that's the place he created. Now you listen to me. You have to take peace more seriously than you ever have. Because if you don't grow in peace, you are not ready to live forever with the God of peace. Church, would you hear this and would you take it seriously? We have to be people of peace because it is a peaceful soul that we enter into the kingdom of God with. Or because we've never valued peace and we've never taken it seriously and we've never really sought Christ for it. We've lived the external trappings of Christianity, but we've missed the transforming wonder of Christ. Church. We have to be people who hunt down peace and holiness. It is what prepares us to abide forever with a God of infinite peace and beautiful, dignified holiness. Our dear Heavenly Father, I believe you are at work in me and in this church to prepare us to abide with you forever. I believe that everything that happens to us, good and bad, you use to mold our souls so that we can abide with you in the beauty and the wonder of your coming world. And so I pray for myself and for everyone here that we would have a new ambition to hunt down peace and holiness and not miss out on the grace of God and be eternally prepared to abide with you forever. Amen. Series without a chance for all of us to make life-changing decisions. We learned in this series that one of the major ways we get peace is prayer. So I'm going to lead us in some prayers this morning. I want to start with those of you who have never had that moment when you trusted Christ enough to lay down your sin. You've just never had that moment where you said to him, I can't deal with sin by myself. I'm trusting my wickedness to you and I am receiving your grace. If you're in that spot this morning, you say this prayer with me. Oh, God of peace, I bring my broken self. I acknowledge that I've sinned. I've done things I'm ashamed of. A sense of guilt robs me of peace. And I'm laying this down before you today. And I'm receiving your grace. I'm receiving the grace of Jesus Christ so I can have peace with you. Now I want to talk to you who, you know Christ is your Savior. You've invited him into your life. But then life beat you around. It bruised your heart. You got disappointed. Some temptation led you astray. And now you hear about the peace of Christ. And it's something you acknowledge you don't have, but you want. Oh, how he longs to graciously give you that peace. Let me lead you in a prayer. Oh, God of peace. I've fallen short on the glory of God, on the grace of God. I've missed your grace somewhere. And it's left me with this empty feeling and no peace. So today I would like to return. I'm the prodigal son, I'm coming home. Please be gracious to me. Please share your peace with me in a new and fresh way. I pray that your peace would rule in my heart. And I could grow in this quality of peace and be prepared to abide with you forever. Now I want to talk to us as a church. We have to be people of peace. Some of you give yourself permission to be rude and mean to other people in church. You've just given yourself permission to be ugly. You've given yourself permission to not be a person of peace at work. You're part of the problem, not the solution. We cannot be the church and not hunt down peace with everybody. We got to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And then we got to show peace to other people. How are we going to help them be prepared to abide forever with Christ if we're not helping them experience the peace of Christ in church? We need to pray for ourselves as a church. If you have a heart, you pray with me. I'll pray out loud. Oh, Prince of Peace, God of all peace, I pray that your peace would rest upon this church. I pray that we would surrender our self-righteous sense of judgment. I pray that we would surrender our egos. Pray that we would submit ourselves to you in the kind of way that your spirit makes us people of peace. And when people encounter us in this church, they get glimpses of the peace of Christ. Pray that we'd be people of peace in our homes. Pray that we'd be people of peace in our workplace. I pray that we would be prepared to abide with you and we would partner with you in helping others abide with you by sharing the peaceful goodness of Jesus Christ. And I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Wow, guys, if you're anything like me, that message was such a blessing. Doc did an awesome job describing the awesomeness of God's peace. If you received a blessing from that and your heart feels compelled, we urge you to share this message with your friends. Share it on Facebook. Send them the link to our website for the live stream. Guys, another update for you. As you recall, next Sunday, August 23rd, our services will be on the square here in Strongsville. So we will not be here at the church. You're going to want to meet us at 10:30 on the square in Strongsville for an awesome outdoor service. God bless everybody. Have a great day.